speaks about putting on the new self. Putting on the new self. And so, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 17 says the following. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, I haven't picked all the hymns tonight. I have picked two of them. So, depending how time goes, I know that if you've got a favourite or not, I'll be asking you for a favourite later on. But we'll rise and sing hymn number 681 to start with. It's on the overhead. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. Let's start to sing.
Jesus gave me, was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody, 'tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. I love the Christ that died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony, when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lovely name of Jesus. We thank you that you are here with us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your rest. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your word. And we just pray that in the short service together, we may know your presence with us and that you would speak to our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Sarah, just to keep you on your toes, if you show that PowerPoint for a minute whilst the congregation think about a favourite hymn, and I'll ask for it in a minute, but I never boasted about my photographic abilities, but I am pretty chuffed about this photograph, which was taken in 1985 on a kibbutz by Lake Galilee. So if what you can see is, you can see the light shining through the clouds. And it was taken with a wide-angle lens. So it's, if you like, it's the big picture. Well, it's one of the big pictures I'm quite happy about. And it's funny when we look at pictures, isn't it? Because, like, of all the things, and we've all got things. We've all got things, but of all the things, I think we would all agree that pictures are things, or pictures are people, rather, particularly. And pictures of places are rather precious to us. And in the scripture reading the night, we're not going to read the whole of this book, but it's only got four chapters in it. And it's one of the favourite portions of scripture in the Bible for me. So let's turn to Ruth chapter 2. We'll read the whole of this chapter together. But I could have shown you only a photograph a night, really. But when we look at scripture, we can see pictures. And some pictures are pretty brutal and painful to look at. Others are happy to look at. And as you look at pictures and you've got pictures in your mind, they might reflect your own circumstances as they are at the moment. And we all go through different circumstances, some happy, some sad, some high, some low, some in between, and so on. Ruth chapter 1. It's a pretty low experience for a family. Death is involved, the death of husbands. And but yet, there is some beautiful scripture. There's crown jewels said by Ruth, the Moabite, the Gentile widow, to her mother-in-law, whom she loved. And but we're going to move right into chapter 2 here, and we're going to take time to read the whole chapter. So it's Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean off and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young woman, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young woman of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Amen. Now, has anybody got a favourite hymn or chorus or song? Are the musicians allowed to speak as well? Well, while you're thinking, I'll give the intimations. There's hospital prayers tonight at 7 o'clock. And as I said earlier, I'll try and finish before 7:15 because there's tables to put out for tomorrow's coffee Emmaus as well. There is a new bulletin available at the door, so if you haven't got one, do take one. There's lots of good stuff in it. Be a good read through it. Let's remember Robbie as he continues over in Nigeria. Michelle was saying today that he's off a heat, it's off a humid. He would take 3 showers a day and he would still feel clummy and all the rest of it, but I suppose that's understandable in that climate. I believe the news is on the Facebook church page. Oh, and I got Facebook, so, you know, I'm a bit of a dinosaur, but you can tell me if the news is off that Facebook page if you're so inclined. But we'll remember him in prayer anyway, and that he will be a blessing to the many students and pastors that he is teaching to and preaching as well. Anybody got a hymn? 615, thank you. Let's start to sing 615.
I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. For
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the good shepherd of the sheep. And we are your sheep, the sheep of your pasture. And we thank you for your care over us, Lord. We thank you for your watching over us, Lord. And Lord, we bring each other to you. We bring our pastor Robbie to you, Lord, as he is in Nigeria, all those many miles away, and yet we ask you to bless his heart, Father, strengthen him, protect him, Lord. And as he is a blessing to the many who will listen, and that word will multiply and grow, we pray that he would be blessed too in his service for you in that country. Lord, we pray for each of us here, Lord, and each of those who are not here tonight for various reasons. We pray your hand upon them, Lord. And we thank you for your care over us. And we thank you for your direction. And we pray that you would open up our eyes more clearly to the way that we go. And Lord, that we would give you all the praise and glory, and that we would know your direction in these days, Lord. These are perilous days. These are the last days. And whatever we do in word or deed, we certainly do need to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, speak to our hearts this evening hour, and we do lift your name up high and pray that your name would be proclaimed in our lives as we go about our daily business from day to day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just to encourage you, as far as going to the hospital tonight, it's fine to go to the hospital when you didn't need it, isn't it, Ken? I mean, it's fine to go to the hospital when you did need it, I know, I realise that, but it is a privilege to go and sing, and a lot of the patients do appreciate it, which is lovely. And so whether you can sing or whether you can't sing, it really doesn't matter. It's making a joyful noise to the Lord, and it's encouraging, not just actually the patients, I'm sure a lot of the visitors appreciate the singing as well. So if you can come to the hospital at 7 o'clock for an hour, that would be lovely. And before that, and we'll try and finish sharpish so that the tables can be put out for the coffee MAS tomorrow as well. And we continue to pray for that ministry as well. It's lovely to see the numbers increasing from week to week, and so it's super. Okay, let's hear reading, and then if you've got a favourite hymn, we'll sing it as well. But let's turn to Ruth chapter 3, just a few verses in Ruth chapter 3, from verse 3 to verse 6. Ruth chapter 3, from verse 3. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. Amen. Now, has anybody got a song or a chorus or a hymn? Or How Deep the Father's Love for Us. That's on the overhead. Thank you. Let's keep our seats for this, will we?
Call out among the scoffers. It was
Now, you'll be glad to know I have picked a final hymn. So there's no pressure. No pressure. Now, if we can get that picture up again, Sarah. The big picture. I'm sure there was a shop called The Big Picture. Was that a Sunday morning shop down the road? Was it? The big picture, was it? I think it was. The Big Picture in Charles West. Now, there's an advert for you. That's free advertising, Catherine. It was Sunday morning, but it's in the West, it's in the West Garden Centre in Charlotte Street. Okay? Now, I'm looking for a cheap deal on a picture getting framed now, Catherine. Okay? And I'm thinking I might get a scene blown up. Now, what's in a picture, I ask you? What's in a picture? And oh, to see the big picture in our lives. You can't, because sometimes we're going through and the clouds are there and we can't see no light. And it's pretty bleak and it's pretty dark and it's pretty stormy. That actually was quite a good day. It was a nice October day in 1985. And the sun was streaming through there. And it was a lovely photograph. But oh, to see the big picture in our lives. The negative circumstances as well as the positive circumstances. And in the book of Ruth, we can see negative circumstances and we can see positive circumstances, but when we look at the big picture in the book of Ruth, we see redemption. We see salvation. We see God's purposes at work through history. And it's lovely. And what I want to speak on tonight are 5 points that I have unashamedly pinched for somebody else. Okay, and you're shocked. You're shocked. And John Watt, it's any of your favourite preachers. Adrian Rogers for the United States. You've probably listened to these points before. I took a note for old notes that I had for 2005, March 2005. I happened to go up the road for my dinner, John Mark, and I put on the God TV, and here was Adrian Rogers, and he was preaching these points. Now, I'll give you a tip, and you can, so you dinna forget these points, right? When you get home, I'm not asking you to do it, I know, but are you folk that have got mobile phones, have got Google and nothing? And if you Google 5 ways to draw closer to Jesus, you'll get to the site and you'll get to the 5 points that I'm going to unashamedly pinch from Adrian Rogers, but I'll tell you a good why. I remember them. It's BFC. British Fish Gunners. Now, on a kind of British Fish Gunners are still down the road, it might have changed to International Fish Gunners. Is it still British Fish Gunners, Alec? Is it changed now? See, things change all the time, don't they? Things never stand still. Things never stand still, Aileen. But in my mind, it's British Fish Gunners anyway. But you see, everything changes, but Christ never changes. Jesus Christ never changes. And these little verses that Ruth followed her mother-in-law's instructions in Ruth chapter 3 is five ways to draw close to Jesus, right? And so British Fish Corner's mind, BFC, the first thing is be freshly cleansed. I thought I was pretty clever. Because in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 3, that's easy to remember, her mother-in-law gives her some instructions. You see, her mother-in-law is interested in her daughter-in-law's future security. And she is going to find it in this kinsman redeemer, this near relative, who is wealthy enough to redeem the land that used to be hers before her husband died. And hopefully a redeemer that's willing to pay the price. And this is Jesus right over aboard. This is Jesus Christ. And we've got it in the ancestry anyway, as you can. The good news story is that Ruth did marry Boaz, and they did have a child, and that line went through King David, and it went all the way around to the Lord Jesus. And it all points to the Saviour. Of course, Boaz himself as a kinsman redeemer is a picture of Jesus Christ anyway. Boaz in him is strength. And in Jesus Christ is strength, is the Redeemer, who is a relative. Did you ken that Jesus Christ had a belly button? Yes, he did. Unlike the first Adam, who I assume didn't have a belly button. And he must have been the only human being that didn't have a belly button. But there you go. I thought that was rather interesting. Jesus Christ is more human than Adam is. If you look at it that way. So Jesus Christ is our near relative. And Jesus Christ is all the riches and glory. He's God himself incarnate, who is able to redeem us. And he's able because he paid the price on the cross. He died for our sins. He shed his blood. He is our substitute. He is our redeemer who has paid the price for our sin. That's a good news story. That's a seriously good news story. And by his blood, we are cleansed from our sins. And not only by his blood, by his word, we are cleaned as well. There's a picture, there's various scriptures in scripture that refers to the cleansing of the word as well, the word of God. Ephesians 5 is a good example about how Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, it says in Ruth chapter 4 that Boaz was a worthy man, or it actually says it in Ruth chapter 2. It says that Boaz was a worthy man. It also says that Ruth was a worthy woman. Now, this is highly unusual for a Jewish book to actually praise up a Gentile. Because generally speaking, the Jews didn't care for the Gentiles. But this Gentile woman, a Moabitess at that, one of Lot's descendants, was actually being praised up as a worthy woman who loved her Jewish mother-in-law, Naomi. And so whenever we look at a big picture, and whenever we look at Scripture, and whenever we look at being part of the church of Jesus Christ, we're always aiming for the ideal. We often didn't get there. Nay, without his help, we can't get there without his help, of course. No way. But we're always preaching the ideal in Colossians chapter 3 about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And we're being renewed. We're being freshly cleansed. Now, I'm sure you would agree, if you didn't have a bath or a shower or get washed on any particular day, Ken, if you was in your bed and you wasn't feeling well, it's not great, is it? I mind, just to share with you, John Mark, I was snowed in Banff maybe less than 30 years ago. Anyway, I was snowed in at this time, it was March time. And I couldn't believe the state of the roads. I was working on a Saturday. Well, I thought I was working on a Friday night in Banff, and I was getting home on Friday night and come back and work on Saturday. Except it started snowing at about 6 o'clock at night. Now I didn't look out the window, you see. And I stopped at Friday night, 9 o'clock, and I get out and I says, oh, me, there's about, like, a few inches of snow anyway. So I go as far as Longman Hill, and then I says, oh, I'm going to have to come back here now. So I actually stayed. Now, my boss, Hamish, Leibnitz, bless him, he's dead now, but Hamish was actually in a Chalmers hospital. He was ill in Banff. But I kent for his wife bed, and in a bed with his wife at night. Now, I was nothing on the war went on now. I was Christine Cairns. But I'll tell you, if it wasn't off a great, I didn't need a change of drawers. No. I didn't turn them outside then either. So at the work all day Saturday, I wasn't happy. Because, now, my colleague was due to work on a Sunday, right? So I was wanting him on a Saturday night, except the road was still blocked. I couldn't get him on a Saturday night. So I went and visited Hamish in the Chalmers Hospital on Saturday night, and eventually I got him. I missed the Sunday school that day. Do you mind not dealing? Well, you've forgotten. I missed the Sunday school that day. I got him a buck or two. Oh, I'll tell you, I was never so glad to have both and change my drawers. But listen, be freshly cleansed. Now, that's not optional. It's not optional, it's essential. By the blood of the Lord Jesus and by the washing of the word. Now, we've got to read God's word. Be freshly cleansed. And that's what Naomi's mother-in-law says here. Wash. Therefore, I did wash, by the way, just in case you're wondering, John Mark, I did wash. And then a second point is, now, Naomi says to Ruth, anoint yourself, put on perfume. The second point is, now, Aileen's already got it, she's looked it up already, I would say, be freshly consecrated. Remember British fish corners now, Richard? So the British fish corners. Is it? Is it burst? Well, I'll tell you something. These points will never get burst, because these points will draw us closer to Jesus. There's no doubt about it. So as well as being freshly cleansed, we can be fragrantly consecrated. And now, we didn't really anoint ourselves. When we're speaking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is given to us when we trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. He comes upon us, he resides in us, but in an increasing way, he does fill us for day to day. And as he fills us for day to day, we become different people. We become the Lord's. And we are perfumed to the extent that we make a difference out there because we're consecrated. I believe a lot of that is to do with prayer. And as we read earlier in Colossians chapter 3, it's about putting on the new self. It's about putting off the old self, and it's about putting on the new self. It's about being fragrantly consecrated, and prayer has an awful lot to do with that. The third point is for her mother-in-law says, and put on your cloak. Be fitly clothed. Be fitly clothed. And the Lord in Isaiah 61, it says that he gives them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When we come into the Lord's presence, of course, we're never out of the Lord's presence, really, but when we come in not door, we are entering his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and into his courts with praise. But this is not just when we come into a church building. This is all the time. This is all the time. That we give him thanks. We're giving him thanks. We've got the robe of righteousness. We've got the garment of praise. we are giving him thanks. We need to be fitly clothed with that, with praise and thanksgiving. Point number four. For Ruth says in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 5, she says to her mother-in-law, "All that you say to me, I will do. All that you say to me, I will do." In other words, be fully committed. Be fully committed. And the Lord was willing. The Lord was willing. The Lord said, "Your will be done." Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was so oppressed, he was so troubled, he was so under a great weight. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, but he said, "Nay, my will, but yours be done." He was willing. Be fully committed. All that you say to me, I will do. And the fifth point, now, listen, I've got 6 points, right? Now, I borrowed 5 of the points, but the 6th point is mine. Okay, it came to me last night. Before I saw your text, Albert, before I read your text, it came to me. But here's a 5th point. Be faithfully compliant. And in Ruth chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her." She was faithfully compliant. You know, the servants in the wedding at Cana in Galilee, when they were told by, well, Mary Kent, the wine had run out, and this was a disgrace for the family wedding. And Mary says to the servants, "Look, everything you say, everything he tells you to do, do it. Be faithfully compliant." You see, it was the servants that saw the blessing. It was the servants that saw the miracle, because they were the ones that poured the water into the jars, and they knew that this water had turned into wine, and they took the wine to the master of ceremonies, and oh, he says, "Why have you kept the best till now?" They saw the miracle. All that he says to you, no matter how strange it is, just do it. And we have to do it. So British fish gunners, Richard, they've gone bust. But we'll never go bust drawing close to Jesus. We'll continue to be freshly cleansed through his blood and through his word. We'll be fragrantly consecrated. We'll be anointed with the Holy Spirit. We'll be perfumed with his presence. We'll be fitly clothed. We'll be entering his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We'll have the robe of righteousness, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We'll be fully committed. We'll be willing. And we'll be faithfully compliant. Whatever he says to you, do it. Now, Albert, if it's the 6th point, I hear you ask. And it just came to me last night, and I says, "Well, Adrian Rogers, you've got a great 5 points, and here's the 6th point. A big face change." Now, one again, why I'm looking at you, Sarah, a big face change. Now, I think your face is great. I do. I think all your faces is great. And you know this, when you come to the Lord and you're looking at him, your face is changed. Do you believe that? I do. Yes, I do believe that in our circumstances, which are so confusing, and there's plenty of folk in low, low places I knew, for we just don't understand why things is happening the way they are. And, you know, trouble's never far around the corner. And I have to confess to you, and Christine kens this, normally my face says how I'm feeling. So if I'm feeling low, my face is like a scalp of doubt, basically. Okay? I can't help it. It just, whereas Christine's different, she can hide how she's feeling, and like her face can be a poker face. But I kinda hide it. But it's a big face change. It's a big face change that our face changes when we are seeking the Lord, when we are drawing close to him, as these 5 points describe. Now, I'm going to finish with this before we close our final hymn, and it's this. This is for Sidlo Boxter, and it's a book. I love Sidlo Boxter books, by the way. If anybody's wanting any Sidlo Boxter books, I've got a few goodies in the house. You kind of get them on the Kindle, and I think, Ken. Well, I don't think you can get some of the Allings. But anyway, this one's called Our High Calling, right? And this is called Being Jesus to Our Neighbours. A friend of J. Sidlo Boxter once told of the following incident, which had first been narrated by the veteran missionary Conan Burns of Nairobi. A poor old woman had been taken by her people and thrown into the long grass outside the village because she was now too sick to help herself any more. That is the easy way of the folk out there when dealing with the aged and helpless. Mrs. Burns, who was a trained nurse, happened to hear of the poor old woman's plight and managed to find the spot where she had been left to die. There the old body was, a mass of sores, dirty, helpless, and surrounded by swarms of insects. Mrs. Burns tried to persuade the people to bring the sick woman back to one of their little market sheds, but there was no response to this until she used the money appeal. There in a market shed, with a kindly nurse's touch, Mrs. Burns washed the sores and gently applied healing ointment. She also supplied nourishment and effected what protection she could from the flies. Then, leaving the food, she promised to return in the morning. Day after day, the loving treatment was repeated, and each day Mrs. Burns told a little more about the love of God and about Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. Little by little, the poor sick body responded to the food and the medicine and the tender nursing. One morning, when Mrs. Burns returned, the old woman was sitting up, wonderfully better, a radiant smile on her face, and she greeted her benefactor with the surprising words, "Your Jesus came to me last night. Yes, he came right to me, and I knew him. But the strange thing was, he had your face." Let's be Jesus to our neighbours. Let's draw close to Jesus, as this scripture, I believe, does proclaim. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rise to sing our final hymn. It's not in the book, actually, but it's in the overhead. To Jesus every day, I find my heart is closer drawn. Every day I find my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the gold and purple dawn. He's all my fancy pictured in its fairest dreams and more. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. The half cannot be fancied, the sight, the golden shore. Oh, sweeter than he ever was before. His glory broke upon me when I saw him from afar. He's fairer than the lily, brighter than the morning star. He fills and satisfies my longing spirit o'er and o'er. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. The half cannot be fancied, the sight, the golden shore. Oh, there he'll be still sweeter than he ever was before. My heart is sometimes heavy, but he comes with sweet relief. He folds me to his bosom when I droop with pride and grief.
I love the Christ who all my burdens in his body bore. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. Love cannot be fancied this side the golden shore. Oh, there he'll be still sweeter than he ever was before.
Please be seated as we close in prayer. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen.